I've been having lots of fun with the series I've been doing, and I'm excited about this morning's. I trust it's going to be speaking to each of us as a very personal topic. It's about who you are. It's about your identity. We're going to talk a little bit about your identity. So who are you? Any ideas? If somebody asks you, who are you? What do you say? This is my name. Yeah, but who are you? That's your name. Who are you? What defines you? What causes you to be you? So I share a little bit about that. Last week I shared, speaking about visionaries, is about seeing reality through God's perspective. So you're seated in heaven, you're looking from God's perspective at all of life. And looking at yourself is key. It's key how we see ourselves. And I shared last week that one of the keys for us is to focus on what God is doing, not on what He's not doing. And so many of us fall into that trap. We focus on what is not happening instead of what is happening. And I shared about the empty chair thing. You know, there can be an empty chair, and I'm just, why is that chair empty? But there are so many other blessed people filling chairs. It's like it's blessed. Or maybe at your business, you know, there's one customer that comes into your business, then you celebrate that. Wow, we have one customer. Instead of focusing on the empty, dry, nobody's walking into the shop times. See, what happens is when you start focusing what is good and what is working, it builds your faith. And then those things can be multiplied in our lives. Or maybe you're a teacher and nobody's listening to you in the class. Except one. You celebrate that one. Thank you, Jesus, for Susie. I'm sure there must be one who listens in every class. And we've got quite a few teachers here in church. So I'm sure there are frustrations that you will and can share with all of us. But focus on what is working. And our human tendency is to focus on what is not working, to focus on what is not. And we should focus on what is happening. And I said a visionary is to view reality from God's perspective. Okay, so it's something that happens. It's like all hell can break loose around you on earth. It's chaos, it's confusion, it's you should be freaking out. But not a visionary. A visionary is somebody that looks up and sees God seated in eternity, anchored in God. And so you can go through the storms of life, but you're anchored. It's like a ship with an anchor. When the storms come, you can put down your anchor because you're seeing from God's perspective. You know God is in control. You know it's going to sort out. I have promises from the Lord. This just looks bad, but it will turn. It's a supernatural anchor you receive in your life. And it really is something supernatural. So God wants each of us to have an anchor, the way we look at life, the way we look at circumstances, the way we look at ourselves, anchored. And it's amazing how God works with one over time. When I was younger, between Sonic and me, you see, my wife sort of, not really, I always joke about this, but she was born saved. Okay, she came out of the womb singing hallelujah. Not really, okay. But she's a wonderful woman. And me, on the other hand, had a little bit of a rocky, shaky youth. Until at the age of about 18, 19, I came to know God. And she was always the stable one, solid, stable. I was the, whoa, okay, we're going joyride, you know. And it's amazing how God has worked, because over time now, I'm now the solid one. But she's on her way to there as well. But we were joking about it the last few weeks. She's looked at me and said, I was always the solid one. And now you are the solid one. But I can I can honestly say there's something supernatural that God does. Because often my circumstance would tell me, freak out, freak out, freak out. But there's a supernatural something that God does where you can look above it. We can look above it. Look at what above what is happening and see what God is going to do. And we all need that. We need that supernatural anchor so that we can walk the road that God has called us to walk. Okay, so that's visionaries. Our greatest challenge is our identity. One thing is seeing God, but I think the biggest challenge is who we are. Because when things are challenging, when the storms come, then sort of these questions come right over here. You a problem, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you don't have what it takes. I've often experienced that it always comes back to identity. When things aren't working, it always comes back to identity. And I shared last week with Jesus, even with Jesus when he was in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, the devil came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God. So even with Jesus, the devil accused his identity, if you are the Son of God. And so each of us needs to be anchored in our identity. And so many of us battle in terms of this. For some of us, it's like a false mirror that is put before us. It's like a warped mirror. So we look into that mirror and we see a warped self. We don't see ourselves for who we truly are. And I shared last week, they did a study about how we self-talk. We talk to ourselves. There's a large university that did a study, and they found that we talk a huge number of words to ourselves continuously. And they have found that 90% of our self-talk is negative. 90% of our self-talk is negative. It would be self-accusing, breaking ourselves down instead of building ourselves up. And so, because we don't have a real anchor, some of us, a real solid anchor in God, we reach out to temporal things. We try to find our identity in things that aren't eternal, that aren't substantial, like our job. I am a doctor. We have a few doctors in the house. And so it's easy to find our identity in that. Actually, you may be insecure. Actually, you're not anchored in God, but I'm a doctor, so I'm somebody. Or maybe you're an engineer or a teacher. It's so easy to find our identity in what we do, which is dangerous because it will lead to anxiety and fear if those things are threatened because you're not anchored in something that is eternal. Or maybe we find our identity in our stuff. I drive a better car than that guy. I probably don't drive a better car than anybody. I drive a Chico with pride. Because a car doesn't define me. What I drive doesn't define me. My house doesn't define me. I don't have a house like my own. It's okay. It doesn't define me. I've got a home in heaven. But what defines you? It's so easy to find our security in our stuff, what we have or what we don't have, what we're doing or not doing. And it sets us up to anxiety and fear. Because if our identity is in what we do and what we have, if those things are threatened, you will fear. You will have anxiety. You will not truly be anchored. It's temporal. And so we need to try and make a shift where we're truly anchored in God. So who are you? What gives you confidence in life? What gives you boldness? I can kick a ball further than that guy. It's like things like that, silly. What is your confidence? So often we find our confidence in pulling other people down, comparing ourselves to others and thinking, well, I'm better than that. And so we find our identity in actually judging or speaking down to others. A visionary is planted in the eternal and the unshakable. The eternal and the unshakable. And so I'm trusting that there will be a shift in our hearts this morning to be planted in the eternal and the unshakable. We need to find ourselves in God. I've realized that if when you see God, there's a download that happens in terms of, okay, now I see who I am. You see, you can't find yourself in yourself. You can only find yourself truly in God. I shared it last week as well, but when I was 18, 19 years old, I came to the Lord. There was lots of self-hatred. I hated myself. I would times, you know, the bad things, would wrong things would happen. I'd mess up. Then I would look into the mirror and I would swear at myself, you, beep, beep. And so there was this anger at myself for not being more or not being what I was hoping or wanting to be. But there's lots of lies that I received about myself until I came to God and the Lord started to shift something on the inside of me, in my mind. As I saw Him, as I fell in love with Jesus, as I started to experience God's goodness, it brought a shift in my heart and in my mind, my self-perception. It transformed me. And I believe God wants to do the same with many of us. You will see that it was just lies. And you will start to celebrate yourself, saying, love yourself. Like, wow, you're such a lekker guy. You know? 1 Peter 2. I shared this last week, 1 Peter 2. And we made a few declarations. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And we spoke about those four things. Chosen. You are chosen. You are royalty. You are holy. You are special. That's what God says about you. Despite how you feel, despite your performance, that's what God says about you. If you start believing those truths, then it will bring a shift in your life. Imagine standing in front of a firing squad, along with 20 other people, and they're about to shoot you dead. So you're standing there, and suddenly, as they're about to shoot, somebody steps out and says, whoa, 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 whoa. Guys, hold on. And this man starts walking down the line. He looks at each one. And he comes to you. And he says, you, come with me. And he takes you aside and they shoot the other 19. You just got chosen. And you don't know why. How would you feel? Thankful. I'm sure. Wow. Wow, but why me? Why me? Why did God, why did this guy choose me? It's a picture of God choosing us. Something I've battled with over the years is like with my extended family, there's nobody that knows Jesus Christ. My extended family. I'm the only one. God chose me. And in a certain sense, the rest of my family standing in front of a firing squad until they turn to Jesus before they die. But so for many of us here, you have been chosen. Chosen. Let that word sink in. You've been chosen by God. It's beautiful when you think about it. It's like being chosen for marriage. The guy really likes you. That's a great compliment. Imagine God choosing you and saying, I want to spend all of eternity with you. And he comes and he picks you out of the crowd. For those of us that are Christians today, why are you a Christian? Did you do something? Did you earn it? Were you just such a wonderful person? I can honestly say that it's only by the grace of God that I am a Christian today. If I look at how many people come to Christ, fall away, then I realize I don't know why I stuck to it. I don't know why, except the goodness of God. He has chosen me, and He has chosen you for Himself. I think that's beautiful. He's chosen you, and He's calling to each and every one of us. Or maybe let's look at choosing. We're probably going to do this on Saturday. There's a team. We have a captain. Guys, choose your team. Who are you going to choose? Well, I'm going to choose the athlete, the perfect, fastest, smartest guy that's going to do the best at touchies or whatever. That's how we would choose. We'll choose the best. Saying, okay, I see some great potential in that, so I want you on my team. And so when God chose you, he said, I see some great potential in you. Join my team. You probably don't see it yet, but I see it. I made you. I see some potential. I see amazing potential. And I'm going to release that in you. Look at this scripture, Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. It says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. A special treasure for himself. And so God is continuously calling out people and saying, come. He's calling everybody, but only some respond. And so afterwards you have to see, but they chose not. But how did we get saved? Well, by the grace of God. I don't know why I chose. Yes, I was probably insane for that day. All my other rebelliousness, difficultness, stubbornness was just for a moment that was gone and I could respond. And so God is calling each and every one of us, choosing us. So how does God choose? 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. Before I read that, how does God choose? If you and I had to choose our disciples, let's go back to 30 AD. Jesus has to decide who will be my apostles, my 12, my super apostles, who will be changing the world. And so Jesus actually prays right through the night. And you could say he prayed for 12 hours. It's like 1 hour per disciple. He's praying for the Father. Father, who should I choose? Who are my disciples, my super apostles that will change the world? And then he hears from God, the Father. And then he goes out and says, you. And he says, you. And he says, you. He so calls Peter, and he calls John, and he calls James, and Matthew, and he calls all of them. And then afterwards you have to think, Jesus, are you crazy? You chose all the wrong guys. Where would you and I have gone? We've gone to the University of Jerusalem and gone in the smartest intellectuals, the brightest and the strongest and the best business leaders. Who does Jesus call? Nobody's. Peter is a fisherman. He's a fisherman. Every time it speaks about fishing in the Gospels. When Peter goes fishing, he catches nothing. That's his business. That's what he does. He's a fisherman. But he never catches anything. He's useless. They were nobodies. They were not educated. They were not intellectuals. They were not successful. It just seems like Jesus just randomly chose some guys and said, come. Because who does Jesus choose? Look at this verse. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. Your calling. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God has a funny way of choosing people. You see, technically, we all nobodies. Everybody, compared to God, we are all those things. We are foolish, we are weak, we are low, we're despised in a certain sense. But some of us don't think so. And so we don't necessarily qualify yet fully for the calling of God. You see, God doesn't want to take somebody, bless them, and do great things through them, and they think, oh, wow, I did this. No, he wants to take somebody that was down and out, do awesome things through them, and they will always remember where they come from. Always remember where they come from. So I get worried when I'm around people who have not been down and out. I get worried because you're just so vulnerable to pride. But if you know that you've been down and out, you remember you've been down and out, you can give only only glory to God. That's actually amazing. I thank God for all the stuff I've been through. Because I can't forget that. That was horrific. I was down and I was out. And God chose me despite. It's beautiful. And so God wants us to see ourselves for who we are without Him. And then He wants us to see ourselves with Him. It's powerful. It's glorious. Jesus is our everything. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Just the next following verses there. It says, and because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh, all these deep words. Like, what? So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. What this comes down to is that you and I, we are zeros. Nul op 'n kontrak. Zero. Can you say zero? Zero. Without God, I'm a zero. Now, zero, and I put another zero next to me, that's you. Another zero next to me, that's another you. And another one. What are we? Zero. We nada, nothing. What is Jesus? Jesus is one. He's everything. So you add the one to the zero, and you get 10. And we add another zero, and we get 100. And we get another zero, and we get 1,000. Just the three of us are now 1,000. Yay. Zero. Jesus is one. But if you remove the one, what are we? Zero. Thank you. Zero. Because God wants it to be that when He does amazing things through us, He wants everybody to know it was Him. Because He's the one. He is the one. And so this is an amazing thing that you are a zero, but you're everything in Him. That's what that scripture says. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. It's like supernatural wisdom. Although the world says we might be foolish as Christians and we believe a lot of hoo-ha, you apply the hoo-ha and you see, wow. You see, ah, it works. It really works. The principles in the Word of God works. It is so powerful. When I remain faithful to my wife and I do not watch porn and I stay holy and righteous in my mind and my heart, what's the result? A wonderful marriage. It works. It works. The Word of God works. Righteousness. His righteousness becomes mine. So although I'm a zero and I'm a nothing, all of Jesus' goodness, all of His greatness, He clothes me with Himself. That's called righteousness. It's becoming. I am now as holy and as perfect and as wonderful as Jesus was when He walked on the earth. I become that when I put my trust in Him, supernaturally. That's a position I take up in Christ. Sanctification, he washes me, he cleanses me, and he prepares me to be a vessel for his glory, and then he fills me with his Holy Spirit. Sanctification, Jesus does that all. I can't earn it. I can't do it. Redemption, that speaks of buying me back. You and I were like in a prison, spiritually in a prison. Jesus comes and he pays our fine. He pays us back and he sets us free. Redemption, Jesus is our redemption. What can I boast in? Nothing. Except him. And what he has done when he died on that cross, he set me free. His perfect life made it possible for me to live a holy life. So then God justifies. Romans 8 verse 31. Just sharing a few things about being chosen. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The Father gave his son, his best, his everything. And so, how will he not give us all things graciously with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. What does it mean? Justifies means innocent. So when it comes to our identity, often we have these thoughts, these bombarding thoughts against, especially I see it so amongst Christians, so much shame, so much guilt. We never feel good enough. We never feel good enough. We never feel we can come boldly to God because I've not done enough. I've not read my Bible enough. I've not, I sinned 3 years ago. Oh my goodness. Or maybe yesterday, whatever. And then these voices come and they accuse you. You're not good enough. You don't qualify. You have too much sin in your life. You can't come to God. And this verse says, God justifies. God justifies. God declares innocent despite our performance. He declares innocent the dad. Imagine this. I'm just thinking as a dad, if somebody messes with, my son is now three and a half. Now if there's a little five-year-old that comes and messes with my boyki and he clubs him around, dad's going to come. Hey, buddy. What do you think you're doing to my son? You will experience the wrath of dad. Because I love my son. I love my son. I don't know. I don't know if you've experienced this, but when you become a dad, you'll do anything to protect your child. Anything. I think you'll kill for your son. Or daughter. I don't know. If you're down to it, you'll do anything to save your little one. And so our God the Father is a better dad than we are, and he feels that way about you. The moment you commit your life to Christ, you put in a place in God where you actually become the apple of his eye. And so if anybody comes, the devil or people come and they accuse you and tell you you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that, you that, whatever, or these thoughts come, it's like them taking that finger and putting it in the eye of God. Now come and put your finger in my eye. I won't be able to help myself. I just respond. Same with God. You're putting your finger in the apple of God's eye. When somebody messes with a child of God, when the devil messes with you, you can say, no, my God justifies me. I am innocent. Even if you've messed up, even if you've sinned, even if you've screwed up badly, you can come to God and say, Lord, I thank you that through you I am innocent. You take up a position of holiness, a position of righteousness, and then from that place, holiness will flow forth. Your performance will change over time. I don't know if that makes sense. But it's a position you take up first. It's not a works-based thing. I'm trying to be good, try to be good, try to be good. Then one day I'm now a saint. The Bible says you're a saint. The moment you're a Christian, you're a saint. From God's perspective, you are a saint. You are chosen. You are chosen. The new man, Colossians 3, verse 9 to 10. Something that God wants us to do, something that God wants us to get by becoming a new person. Do not lie to one another, just by the way, seeing that you have put off the old self, there's the old you with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. What's that speaking of? There's an old self in each and every one of us. That old self leads us into trouble. It causes us to do stuff that we don't want to do. It causes us to sin. What is sin? Sin causes death. When we sin, it causes death and destruction. That's the result of sin. That's why God says, do not sin, because it will bring pain to your life. Don't sin. And so this old self leads us into that nonsense. Then there's a new self, and it says, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. In other words, the more knowledge you receive, revelation you receive of who God is, the more you are changed into that image. The more you see Jesus, you become that image. It's like with me. I am honestly a terrible person to live with. Sure, call yourself a pastor. Let me explain. When I am my old self, when I am in the flesh, I'm a selfish, irritable, difficult person. And so I sometimes have to tell my wife, hold your horses, I'm not in a good space. I need to go spend some time with God. And then I go spend some time with God. And then I get clothed with a new self. And then I become a very lacquer-o. Then I'm patient and kind and not irritable so much and. But if I'm over here, it's terrible. I'm a not nice person to live with. And so many people live over here. And relationships are destroyed and things don't work and it's just chaos. But God wants to put on the new self. The new self is a new identity. A new identity of who God has truly caused us, destined us to be, to become like Christ. And so each of us are chosen for this. Colossians 3 verse 12. Okay, ending off with this. It says, later on that chapter, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones. Can you say chosen one? As God's chosen one, put on that new self. It says there, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Now put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Yeah, there's a powerful scripture. It's about this is our calling. This is what we as Christians are destined to live in. A new self-image that God has designed us to be. This is our calling. This forever and ever been. This is what God's always planned for us. And he says, now put on that new self. Put on that new self. Know that you are a chosen one and you are holy and loved. I've just been meditating on that this week. The scripture says, I am holy. The scripture says, I am loved. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how your performance has been. I am holy and I am loved. I am loved. You are loved. And so how do we do this? How do we put on, as we are renewed in knowledge of who God is, as we see God, as we become visionaries to see and to experience his amazing love. There's nothing like the love of Christ. There's nothing like knowing that God loves you. Dad loves you despite anything you've ever done. He loves you. You are the beloved. He has chosen you. If you allow that love to settle in your heart, it will change you. It will change you. And then God says, now this is the holy calling. We've been chosen to do what? Chosen to love. You and I have been chosen to do great things for God. Awesome things. Mind-boggling things. What is the greatest thing? To love somebody. To love somebody. To love somebody next to you. Chosen. I shared previous few weeks, that we are like a piano. And each of us is a key on the piano. And when our minds and hearts are not renewed, then what happens is we become discordant. We make funny sounds. And so when God comes and plays the piano, he sort of skips those notes that are that funny sound because we've not been renewed in his love. Then he skips those sounds. He just skips those notes and he plays on because we're just not on his wavelength. He can't really do powerful things through us. But then this scripture says, put on love, which is a perfect bond. Brings harmony. What does it mean? That means that you and I receive the power of God to love somebody else that is maybe a discordant note to become an in tune note. What I mean with that? When I came to the Lord as a 18, 19 year old, I have all these issues and all these challenges of my self-perception. My greatest life change was through the love of other people. My greatest life change was when somebody else started to treat me with dignity and started to treat me as if I'm somebody, as if I have potential, as if I'm a chosen one. And so each of us have been given this great and awesome calling to love somebody that they also become part of the harmony. You have an awesome power in your hand to love somebody, and that love and dignity that you show to them can change them forever. So I want to encourage us to do this. Treat those around you as chosen ones. Treat those around you as saints. Treat those around you as holy. And everybody we meet any place, anywhere in the world are also possibly chosen ones. And so God wants us to love people like that, to reveal his love to people. We are chosen by God to love. We are chosen to do great things. The worship band, you can join us in front. I just want to pray for us. I so want to encourage you to see, to allow God to minister to your heart until you come to this realization that I am chosen, I am holy, I am sanctified, I am special, I am blessed. If you're a Christian, that is so. And maybe for some of us, God is calling and saying, I'm calling you to become a chosen one. I'm calling you to be a chosen one. I'm calling you to be a chosen one. Have you said yes to that? Have you said yes to being a chosen one? I said a visionary is somebody whose identity is anchored in God and you are unshakable. Your anchor is down even in the storms of life. You cannot be shaken because you know I am beloved, I am blessed, I am holy. Irrespective of the things in my life. So I just want to pray for us. Just let these words soak into your heart. Father, we thank you that we, as believers who have put our trust in you, we are the apple of your eye. we are the apple of your eye. No one can accuse us because you justify, you declare innocent, you declare, this is my son, this is my daughter, and I justify them. And so, Father, I pray for so many of us, Lord, that battle with thoughts that accuse us, thoughts that tell us we're not good enough, when the arms of our Heavenly Father is wide open, saying, come. Come. Come and receive my love. Thank you, Lord, for many of us, we have stood before and in front of that firing squad, and you came and chose us. You chose us out of death. You brought us into new life. And so, Father, we pray for each of us, God, to realize that. And maybe for some of us that are standing in front of that firing squad that still haven't said yes to the call, Lord, may we make that decision. May we make that decision to say yes to the call of God that is for everyone. I just want us to declare a few things. It's sometimes good to say it, but I would encourage you to, in this week, actually go meditate on some things. I said last week as well, stand in front of the mirror and start declaring it over yourself. If you've put your trust in Jesus, you can say, well, you are holy. No, your performance doesn't look like it, but you are holy by faith. Holiness will manifest through your life. And so you can say, I am holy by the blood of Jesus. There's not a license for sin, but that's just a position of strength we take up so that God's holiness can flow through us. So let's close our eyes and just declare the following, just a declaration. I am loved by God. I am chosen by God. I am holy through the blood of Christ. I am anchored in God. I am the apple of his eye. If God is for us, who can be against us? God declares me innocent when I trust in him. I am a zero in myself. Jesus is one. Jesus is everything. And in Christ, I become everything. I am special. I am valuable. Because Jesus died for me. I am loved. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. God is with me. God is for me. Lord Jesus, have your way. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that we can declare these truths, these life-changing, liberating truths. Thank you, God, that we can reject the lie and embrace the truth that breaks us free from the prison. Just as our eyes are closed, I just want to ask if you battle in terms of your identity, in terms of you feel these accusing negative thoughts often. Would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Yeah, quite a few hands. Okay, I just want to pray for you guys. Holy God, we worship you. Father, we praise your name. I just feel God, do you want to be obedient to what I feel? Can I ask you guys, those who raised your hand, could you just quickly come forward that we can pray with you, have some facilitators to pray with you? We just want to pray for your thoughts. There's quite a few people that raised their hands. Just quickly come. Now we just want to pray with you. If I can have facilitators as well. It's terrible bondage. It's terrible torment. The enemy torments us with lies and things. Have some more facilitators and interns to come and pray, please. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that our minds, our thoughts, are gateways to the supernatural. And Lord, we pray where the enemy has neutralized our thoughts and our thinking through negativity, self-accusations, and insecurity, God, we pray, Lord, for liberty. We pray for a setting free of each one's thoughts. In Jesus' name, Holy God, we pray, Lord, for freedom from these accusations. We declare God is the one that justifies his chosen ones. And so we declare, God, that they are your chosen ones. They are your elect. They are the ones you've chosen to justify. Thank you, God, for their purpose, their destiny that you've designed them for. And God, we pray that they will be launched into that. They'll start seeing themselves according to your heart, according to your will, and according to your purpose. In the name of Jesus. God, we just release truth over their minds, life over their minds right now. Right now. Going to pray with them now in a moment. I just want to encourage each of us. Maybe you've never made that commitment to Jesus. You've never said yes to his call. I just want to encourage you. He's calling you. You don't need to die in front of that firing squad. You don't need to be lost eternally the day you die. You can be truly saved, truly made new as you say yes to his salvation. So I want to encourage you even today to take some time out, maybe just after the service or sometime later today, just pray to God and say, God, I say yes to being a chosen one, to being part of the family. I say yes to being saved. I don't want to die. I want your life. So just do that sometime today. Hallelujah.